Hello, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
We're talking about science in today's program. We're talking about the human body. And, of course, the human body, of course, has all sorts of things. We've got organs, we've got bones, we've got skin, we've got muscles. But also we seem to have some useless body parts, things in our bodies that we don't really need anymore. And according to evolution, of course, those body parts are no longer needed, but we still have them for some reason. And we're going to talk about some of those body parts. The one, of course, I can think of right off is the appendix. Everybody says that the only reason you have an appendix is to get rid of it, basically, but nobody really knows what it's for.
I think of the gallbladder, too.
Is the gallbladder something that's useless?
I don't know. But we get gallstones, and don't they take out the gallbladder after that?
That I don't know. Maybe there's also, maybe we've got two kidneys, and we don't really
our
need
tonsils,
to.
Remember our tonsils?
The tonsils in your throat. Yeah, it seems like those are kind of useless, too. What do we need those stupid things for?
But I don't know.
We're going to talk about some examples of body parts that we still have that we don't really use. So let's get to it, everybody. Let's talk about evolution, why humans have useless body parts. Here comes our lesson read in its entirety.
Imagine being at a party with all your friends when someone new walks in. Before long, the new guy has become the life of the party and starts showing off his best party tricks. Entranced, your friends surround him as he wiggles his ears without touching them. After many unsuccessful attempts to imitate him, you can't help but wonder, what does he have that I don't? It all boils down to the theory of evolution. In 1859, Charles Darwin published On the Origin of Species, in which he introduced the idea that similar species were likely to be related by common ancestors. He theorized that each subsequent generation of a species could eliminate traits and features that were no longer necessary for their survival. Over time, new species, including humans, would evolve from this natural selection of characteristics and continue the process themselves. For millennia, humans have been phasing out these unnecessary characteristics. For example, our bodies naturally react to threats by making our hair stand up on end. This response is meant to make us appear larger and more fearsome. Since we've lost most of our hair in the evolutionary process, however, this merely results in goosebumps, the tiny bumps that appear on our flesh. Another example of our evolution is the appendix. This is an organ that once helped us digest grass, but now has no practical function. Furthermore, that new guy from the party is one of the few people who can still use their auricular muscles. Like primates, our ancestors used these muscles to move their ears around while listening for predators. Nowadays, these vestigial features don't bring us much benefit. Nevertheless, they provide us with a window into the past, giving us a glimpse of our connections with our prehistoric ancestors.
Okay, everybody, we're talking about evolution, which of course was brought about by Charles Darwin, especially when he went to the Galapagos Islands in the Pacific Ocean a long time ago. So we have the theory of evolution, and we're going to be asking this questions. Why, or this one question, why do humans have useless body parts? Well, that's the question, why do humans have useless body parts? And when you say, well, we're going to tell you why humans have useless body parts. Okay, so that's kind of like the title of this article.
Uh-huh.
The title is not a question, but it's actually sort of a statement here. It says that this article is going to tell us why we have these useless body parts that we don't really need.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to it here. Imagine being at a party with all your friends when someone new walks in. So it's kind of a social gathering, maybe on a Friday night or something. You're listening to music and stuff like that. And so you're at a party with your buddies and someone new walks in. Hey, I've never seen that guy before. Who's he? What's he doing here? Well, before long, the new guy has become the life of the party and starts showing off his best party tricks. Yes, indeed. If you go to a party, sometimes people want to be the life of the party, which means you're the focus of attention. You're the most popular person there. You've got the best jokes. You've got the best experience and travels and stuff like that. Maybe you're kind of tall, handsome, beautiful. You can be male or female. It doesn't really matter, just as long as you are the center of attention.
Yeah, typically the life of the party is the one who is making the party fun for everybody else. So they're typically telling jokes, and they're just making the party more fun. So this party has a guy who can actually do a party trick, it's called. Entranced is the next sentence. If you're entranced, it's almost like you're in a daze. You just feel like it's like somebody puts a spell on you if you're entranced, right?
You're in a trance.
So, yeah, you're in a trance. That's I-N. Trance.
Mm-hmm.
Entranced is, of course, the adjective. So you're entranced. It's like someone's put a spell on you. You can't look away. You're just so fascinated by what you're looking at. Your friends surround this guy who's the life of the party as he wiggles his ears without even touching them. If you wiggle something, you move it back and forth. So he can actually move his ears just by thinking of it, I guess. He's not using his hands. He's not touching his ears. He can wiggle them. I can't do this.
I cannot either, but I think all three of my sister's sons can do this.
Wow.
They would entertain us. They still do, actually, every time we go back home and we have dinner with them. We'll ask them to wiggle their ears, and they will oblige and wiggle their ears for us. Actually, my sister also can open the nostrils on her nose. I don't know what that's all about, but I can't do that either.
How do you close? Well,
I don't know. She just makes them wider. She just sits
really?
There. Here's my nose, and they're open.
Oh, wow.
They're
I can't
wider,
do that.
So it's kind of funny. Or you can or can't do
I
that.
Can't.
You
no.
can't. Yeah. I don't know a lot of people who can do that. But in any case, this guy is the life of the party because he can wiggle his ears without touching them. So maybe you know somebody who can do that. Maybe you don't. And after many unsuccessful attempts to imitate him, you can't help but wonder, what does he have that I don't? You might be asking that question, guys, if your girlfriend has dumped you for another guy. What does he got that I don't got? What do you want to be with that loser for? I'm the man. I'm macho. I'm tall. I'm muscular. I have a high salary. What the heck do you see in that bum? But in any case here, yes, you want to imitate this guy at the party. So maybe you can be the life of the party, too. To imitate means to copy, basically, or be like something else, to produce a copy of something, to be a model of somebody else. Basically just means, yeah, to copy somebody, to be like them.
Well, the next paragraph starts out by kind of giving you an answer to this question. What does he have that I don't have? What's he got that I don't got? It all boils down to the theory of evolution. If something boils down, it just means after you examine everything, this is finally what you're left with, right? Because if you boil something down, finally you're left with something at the bottom of your pan, you could say. So it all boils down to the theory of evolution. What's that? Well, in 1859, there was a man named Charles Darwin, and he published a book called On the Origin of Species. Species is a word we use to describe different types of animals and plants. It's just a group of a living organism, and these species all share different characteristics. They have the same genes. They can interbreed. So if two people get together, they can have a baby. If two horses get together, they can have a pony, which is a baby horse. Those are species. And in this book, he introduced the idea that similar species were likely to be related by common ancestors. Your ancestors are the people in your family that preceded you. And usually our ancestors are no longer alive. So, for example, my great-great-grandfather or my great-great-grandmother, that's an ancestor. And if you introduce an idea, it means you talk about this idea that's never been brought up before. You're the first one to talk about it. It's a new concept, you could say.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, a lot of people kind of make fun of evolution. No, we did not come from monkeys. That's true. We did not come from monkeys, but monkeys and humans came from similar ancestors, which means we're not related directly to each other. We've got a common ancestor in the past, which I've often thought about. Wouldn't that mean that every human being has like hundreds of thousands of grandparents or something as you go down past each generation? Two parents, four grandparents, eight great parents, blah, 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 blah. The numbers increase exponentially. Mm. But there's another explanation for that, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But in any case, this is all about evolution, and Darwin introduced this idea to the world of science, and he theorized that each subsequent generation of a species could eliminate traits and features that were no longer necessary for their survival. In other words, as the species mm-hmm. continue to reproduce in the following generations, they can start to add traits or get rid of traits. A trait is just something that you can do, something that makes you what you are, basically.
It's your characteristics, right?
Yeah, distinguishing quality.
Yeah.
And so, yes, if you don't need those traits or those distinguishing qualities, you can just get rid of them. And, of course, these things are not necessary for your survival, which means your ability to keep on living without dying.
Yeah, survival of the fittest is often a phrase you hear when we talk about Charles Darwin. The animals and the plants that could live the best, or that were the strongest in some sort of environment, would be the ones that would survive or continue to live on, and others would die or be extinct, right? If you're extinct, you're no longer on this planet, you're gone. So over time, new species, including humans, would evolve. Evolve means to change slowly over time, right? From this natural selection of characteristics. So if you had the right characteristics, you would survive, or the right traits. Again, traits and characteristics are very similar.
They certainly are. And, well, we'll continue talking about this in just a couple of seconds. We actually haven't started to introduce those specific body parts. If you're anxious to know what they are,
stay tuned. Yeah.
We'll be right back. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们来看一下今天你身上有哪些 useless body parts, 有哪些无用的部位呢？首先我们来看到第一个空格的句子写着 After many unsuccessful attempts to imitate him, you can't help but blank one. What does he have that I don't?在这里呢，前面是提到呢，这个人啊，他不用手碰就可以摆动他的耳朵，然后呢，你呢试了很多次，但是却是 unsuccessful 不成功的，然后你就不禁纳闷着说，为什么他呢可以摆动耳朵，而我却做不到呢？你就不禁开始纳闷。在这里第一个空格要考考同学的文法概念，在英文里面我们提到忍不住不得不，我们就可以说 can't help but 后面加上原形动词，所以第一题我们的标准答案就选择 C wonder wonder 当然就是有纳闷想知道的意思。第二个空格的句子前面提到 In 1859 Charles Darwin published On the Origin of SpeciesBlank 2, he introduced the idea that similar species were likely to be related by common ancestors. 在这里呢，讲到了查尔斯·达尔文出版了这本书叫做 On the Origin of Species,物种起源，在书里面他就提出来的概念提到呢，相似的物种 similar species 很有可能呢是因为有共同的祖先 common ancestors。 但是我们的重点要考考同学，在这本书的后面里面我们可以选择 in the book， 而 the book 就用 which 来代替，所以第二题的标准答案就选择 B 选项 in which， 在这本书里面他介绍了这样子的概念。第三个空格， He theorized that each subsequent generation of a species could blank three traits and features that were no longer necessary for their survival。他其实提出来的一个理论就是呢 subsequent generation， subsequent 是解释成为后来的，每一种物种的它的后代都有可能对这些不再必要的特征跟特点，我们这里用的是 traits and features， 而这些东西对他们的生存 survival 不重要的东西，他们会做怎么样的处理呢？第三题D eliminate 消除，因为后面的句子提到呢，他们呢会利用这种演化跟物竞天择，把这样的特征跟特点都消除去，所以搭配前后文意，第三题我们选择标准的答案 D eliminate。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right backWelcome back, guys. We're talking about evolution and why humans have useless body parts. We're finally to the section, Tom, where we can talk about what some of these useless body parts are. Let's look at the third paragraph here, guys. It starts out with saying, for millennia, humans have been phasing out these unnecessary characteristics. So what is millennia? Millennia is the plural form of the word millennium, which is a period of 1,000 years. So for thousands of years, you could say, instead of saying for millennia, for thousands of years, humans have been phasing out these unnecessary characteristics. If you phase something out, it just means you slowly get rid of something that you no longer want. A phase is a period of time. Maybe you're producing a new product and your product is going to be developed in 4 different phases. That's 4 different periods of time of development. Phase out means over a period of time, you're going to get rid of something.
Right, so maybe eventually companies will phase out DVD players since everybody is watching movies online or you can put them on flash keys、
People、
or stuff like that.
People are streaming, yeah.
They're streaming, so yeah, maybe DVD players will eventually be phased out. They will be eliminated slowly, so humans have been phasing out these unnecessary characteristics or these unnecessary body parts. Now, here's an example here. Our bodies naturally react to threats by making our hair stand up on end. Okay, I guess this does happen, of course, sometimes if you're feeling threatened by something, if you're really scared a very large truck is about to run you over, you're about to get attacked by a very large Formosan black bear.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm so scared. So it makes your hair stand up on end. I don't know if I've ever been that frightened before myself, so I don't know if my hair would stand up on end. But evidently, this is a response that most of us still have.
It's kind of a weird way we say this in English, our hair standing up on end. It's really kind of weird. It just means standing up straight, straight up from our head. And this response is meant to make us appear larger and more fearsome. If you're fearsome or somebody else is fearsome, it means they're big and large and scary. So it could just say makes us appear to larger and more scary or more intimidating. We've been talking about that word this month a lot. Now, since we've lost most of our hair in the evolutionary process, although I know some men have tons of hair on their bodies, so that's not true for everybody. I think, though, the men in Taiwan have less hair than some of the American men I know. Mm. A lot of people, they've lost most of our hair in the evolutionary process. I think what the writer is referring to is animals have hair all over their bodies, right?
Yep.
But people... We don't have as much hair on our bodies, obviously.
I guess early humans had more hair on their bodies, so that's what happened if they were being attacked by a large mastodon or something, or by a woolly mammoth, then their hair would stand on end, and of course this is a response to make us look larger and more fearsome, more scary, so then those animals would go, oh, wait a second, that person just got pretty big there, I'm kind of scared now, so the animals would think twice about attacking those cavemen.
Yeah, maybe I won't eat that caveman for dinner. He looks scary. I think probably the caveman's club or sword or spear would look more scary than the hair on their body.
As they developed those techniques, yes, yeah. Those probably replaced the fur or hair standing on end, and they got rid of that function. Supposedly, well, actually, it's still there. However, this merely results in goosebumps nowadays. These are tiny bumps that appear on our flesh. To result in means that's what you get as a result of some other process. It results in, or as a result, we have goosebumps. I think in English, in England, they say goose flesh. It's the same thing. I don't really know what you say here. I used to know. I forgot, but y'all got the same sort of thing. These little tiny bumps, they will appear usually on your arms, you know, when you're suddenly chilly or something.
Or something really weird happens, and you kind of go, ooh.
Or you're kind of scared or something. So this does happen, even though we don't have the hair there anymore. This is still kind of left over from those early times when we were chased by saber-toothed tigers.
Okay, I see goosebumps is jeepy good gooda.
Okay, there you go. There's the Chinese for it. Goosebumps.
Goosebumps.
Or goose flesh.
They're kind of cool, huh?
They are pretty cool. In fact, I'm getting some right now.
I get
just
them when
thinking
I'm cold or I have a deja vu, which means it seems like you've experienced the same thing in the past. You can get them for a lot of reasons. Now, another example of our evolution is what we call the appendix. I still have my appendix, but I know of some people in my family who've had to have it removed. Sometimes it just gets, I don't know, it gets inflamed and suddenly is really painful if your appendix starts to hurt and you have to have an operation to have it removed. It's an organ in our body that once helped us digest grass. If you digest something, it means your stomach, you eat something, your stomach's able to turn that food into vitamins and minerals and things that your body can use to function. But now, obviously, we don't eat a lot of grass these days. I think some people do like grass in the world, but we typically don't eat grass anymore, so we don't really need this organ. Most of us call the appendix a useless organ that we have,
I should say this is a theory, though. I think actually most people don't really know what the appendix is for, but in some animals who have appendixes, they actually do use it to help them digest grass. So maybe that's what we used it for in the past,
maybe.
But I think it's a theory.
We don't know.
In any case here, as you said, not too many people eat grass anymore, but we still have that appendix anyway. Now, furthermore, that new guy from the party, remember that guy we were talking about?
The Wiggles disease. Ears?
The guy who could wiggle his ears, the life of the party. He is one of the few people who can still use their auricular muscles. Okay, so we're referring to that here. Auricular just means having to do with your ears. And, of course, dogs can do this, and especially cats. If you've ever looked at a cat before,
true.
They're moving their ears around all the time. So they've got those muscles, but humans can't really do that so much. Our ears just kind of stay there, unless, of course, you're talking about this guy at the party, and unless you're talking about my nephews.
Yeah, they have
can move their ears around.
Kinda
it's
cool.
Actually kind of creepy, actually.
Oh, I think it's fun.
it's interesting. Yeah, it's fun. It's something to do when we're having dinner together. Hey, look at Nathan move his ears there. It looks pretty cool. So, again, those are your auricular muscles. And like primates, our ancestors used these muscles to move their ears around while listening for predators. Primates are other creatures in the animal kingdom that are like us, chimpanzees, gorillas, stuff like
orangutans.
That.
Orangutans.
There you go. Yeah. Those are primates. And a predator, of course, is somebody who's trying to attack you, they're trying to kill you, and they want to eat you.
They definitely want to eat you.
Like sharks in the ocean, for example, if they try to attack you, then they are your predator.
Yes. Well, nowadays, this is the last paragraph, by the way. Nowadays, these vestigial features don't bring us much benefit. You're thinking, what is this word that starts with a V? Vestigial. We don't often see it. I know my dad used to say it when I was a little girl growing up. What it means is forming a very small remnant or leftover of something that was much larger or more noticeable. For example, maybe you were really, really angry earlier in the day, but now you only feel a vestigial flicker of anger. So only a little bit is left over. So some of these features that are left over, these, you know, leftover features, you could just say leftover features, they don't bring us much benefit anymore. Nevertheless, even though that's true, they provide us with a window into our past, giving us a glimpse or a quick look, that's what a glimpse is, of our connections with our prehistoric ancestors. Prehistoric refers to history before we could even write and keep history, right? So it's a period of time before we had written records, prehistoric.
Right, so these body parts are vestigial features. I was going to say that the word vestige is actually a more common word based on this form here.
True.
A vestige is just something left over from a larger whole, like there are still some vestiges of the British Empire in the world. They still have some colonies and islands here or there. Mm-hmm. There are still little parts left over from a larger whole that used to exist. So again, these are vestiges of our previous selves, and these, again, are giving us a glimpse of our prehistoric ancestors. Very interesting indeed, and there might be other body parts that we still have, but we don't use. Talk about it amongst your classmates. Okay, that brings us to the end of our explanation. Here comes our Chinese teacher.
在这里的第四个空格提到, for example, our bodies naturally react to blank 4 by making our hair stand up on end. 举例来说呢, 我们的身体呀, 在怎么样, 对什么东西会产生反应, 而这个反应就是毛发会竖起来。 第四题, A, threats, 威胁。 当我们遇到威胁的时候，毛发会竖立起来。那么呢，第四题我们选择A选项，threats，这呢可以让我们看起来比较庞大的感觉。而第五个空格，我们直接看后半句。 However, this merely results in goosebumps. The tiny bombs, blank 5, on our flesh. 当然咯，这后续在演化的过程当中，我们已经失去了大部分的毛发，而这样的反应就变成只会起鸡皮疙瘩 goosebumps. 什么叫做goosebumps? 同位语补充说明是 the tiny bombs, 小小的凸起物，然后呢 that appear on our flesh. 我们可以用这个 appear 是动词, 前面再加一个 that, 从 that 开始刮号, 刮到 on the flesh, 用来修饰前面的 bombs, 这样的凸起物是出现在我们的皮肤上面的。 第五题的标准答案就选择 D, that appear. 而后面另外介绍的是 appendix, 也就是我们的阑尾。 This is an organ that once helped us digest grass, but now has no blank six function. 阑尾的功能呢，是以前可以帮助我们来消化这个草叶，但是现在其实已经没有了怎么样的功能。 第六题 ，C practical 实用的，因为现在人并没有吃那么多的草叶，所以对我们来讲，阑尾也就没有很多实用的功能了。第六题的标准答案就选择 C 选项。第七个空格 ，Nowadays these vestigial features don't bring us much blank seven. 其实呢，到了现在，这些已经退化的这些特征，并没有带给我们太多的怎么样，所以呢，常常就已经看不到了。第三题 ，A benefit 好处。 因为这些残余的特点对我们来讲呢，其实已经没有太多的好处了。第七题的标准答案就选择A, benefit. OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解。谢谢收听。
That is it for today's lesson. Thanks for attending our class today, or thanks for listening to us. We appreciate your efforts, and we certainly hope your English grows by leaps and bounds. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Bye.